everybody, and welcome back to another season of Horror Film Lovers. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with...
Sarah Atkins.
My co-host.
Oh, yeah.
So, we are here in Virginia, and we've got some amazing special guests, and we'll get to why we're here in Virginia in a bit. But before that, introduce yourself, sir.
Hello, my name is Paul A. Presenza, otherwise known as the Moo Cow Moo.
Yes, it's his first time on this show, I think, right?
Yay.
Yeah, so indeed. There you go. So we got him on here, and then we got...
Hello, I'm G. Larry Butler.
All right, the sort of British, sort of American man.
Sort of everything, yeah.
Sort of everything. Thank you, sir, for coming here and enjoying this movie. And we also have...
Hey, guys, I'm Cody Hancock.
All right.
That's... Yeah.
Welcome. Welcome all. This is, I decided since we're going to be coming back in January, and January is sort of a cold month, you know, we had to do something that's a little in the cold side or whatever, and I decided to do the 2010 Adam Green written and directed film Frozen, which I think, Paul, you had heard of but hadn't seen.
Right, right.
And G. Larry Butler, you never heard of this movie, right?
Never.
Okay, and Cody?
No, I've never heard it.
Yeah. I, however, have seen it once around when it first came out. Yes. But that was the only time I have seen it. And not to be confused with, you know, the Disney Frozen. It is a completely different music. Yeah. I mean, they let it go, but not in the way you think.
They let it go. You know, there were no talking snowmen in this movie.
No, no. That would have made it a little more interesting.
That would have...
You could have fended off the wolves.
Yeah. See, that would have been a different Adam Green movie.
Right.
Because Adam Green does typically do a lot of comedy.
Right.
So I wouldn't have been surprised if a talking snowman just popped in and just started scaring off all the wolves.
As you do.
Yeah, right? Because why not?
And you'll get the wolf reference and joke here in a minute once we explain this movie to you.
Well, why don't you do that for us?
Oh, well, okay. So... The movie's called Frozen, but I always joke that it should be called Eaten by Wolves, because there are wolves, a lot of beautiful wolves that apparently Offset tried to eat them for real, which Jonathan, I'm sure, can fill you in more of that later.
For real.
But, so you have these two guys who have been best friends since they were kids who want to go on a snow trip. One of them has a new girlfriend and he brings her along and they get on the ski lift. And you know, they're trying to go skiing, you know, it's cold outside, it's snowing, they have to bribe the ski lift guy to let them all on, yada, yada, yada. But apparently they try to shut the lift down because of weather and they don't like that idea. You know, they want to go anyway. So
they want one last
right.
Ski
they
lift.
Want one last ride and they manage to get it, but the ride gets turned off, some miscommunication here, and they get stuck at the top of the lift.
It's beginning to look a lot like fuck-ups.
Yeah. It's one mistake after another, one just fuck-up after another, and honestly, these kids are just some idiots. They fight the entire time, you know, and all this stuff. Bicker.
They
kind of
deserved it.
I'm not gonna lie. I think you hated this movie because the way that you were like, even from the very beginning, it seemed like you didn't even care to watch it.
Oh, I hated it from the beginning. It got better once they actually got imperiled because I disliked all
it
their characters.
It was so slow going out because they were building the characters, basically just setting it up to show you that the lift was a little faulty,
but
that they didn't have their
phones.
That's
okay. It's just that the characters that they built up weren't people that I had
no investment, no interest in these characters. They were just kind of honestly just annoying to you, and you're kind of like, okay, I don't care if you live or die. And you know, like I said, you're not gonna listen to this podcast if you know you don't want spoilers. We are
and,
gonna spoil
you know,
the ending for you.
I'm an older guy, so I can tell when a movie is not directed at me as an audience. It's directed more like you're 20-something. So it's got these people who are early 20s acting like they're still in high school. Ha ha, funny. The soundtrack is clearly, you know, whatever, the latest, you know, pimple-faced...
Music that's
music
out there,
thing that's
yeah.
out there is going on. So, you know, but once they get past that stage and it actually gets into the meat of the movie, it was much better. And, you know, it had some tension to it.
Right.
I'll just say this, though. The scene where, because you're like going around saying that, oh my God, these guys are such total douchebags.
Yes.
Even the girl is just complete douchebag, like kind yes. of person. Right. Yes. And then the guy goes and gets in a fight with another douchebag.
It's just full. I mean, they're on a ski resort. How like they're all douchebags. You know, they're all privileged white kids.
It's like they were little D douchebags, and then they had to mess up with the big D douchebags.
Yeah, but they really. But though, I mean, I guess that was his ex girlfriend, so he doesn't have any right to try to be like he's putting his hands on you. Of course, in context to that scene, that scene
is referring to one of our main guys flirting with a girl he meets up there, and she's on the ski trip with her ex-boyfriend, who gets very defensive and tries to, you know, fight him, but he still tries to get her phone.
Something like that happens. I mean, someone's going to step in and do something.
At one point, he didn't try to get her phone number. He was just like, I'll see you in a couple weeks. Yeah, he'll never see her again.
Right. But they get stuck on the ski lift, and they try to get down, and let's just say it doesn't end so well. There's a few deaths, there's a bunch of wolves, and there's one
lighter.
Survivor in the end, you know.
He'll be a little lighter the next time she sees
him. Like, next time she sees him, he'll be just ahead.
The boys didn't quite make it, but, you know, the girl managed to survive and get away and get rescued in the end, and that was the end of the movie.
Yeah. But all right, so let's kind of break it down a little bit more. So let's talk more about them, like when they get stuck, you know, like they're just chit-chatting because they're actually stuck on the ski lift.
Right.
And they're just chit-chatting about stuff because they think the guys are just like fucking with them, playing a joke. And then all of a sudden the lights go off.
Right.
And that was, I think, honestly, that was when I first watched this movie, that was one of the most terrifying scenes. Because, like, when I started seeing the lights going off, I was like, okay.
That was well done.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, they're going there.
Right, and for them, it was probably pitch black. You know, like for us watching it, we could see because it's a movie, but for them, it was probably more pitch
black. It's like seeing a tsunami wave coming.
Right.
You can see it in the distance, swallowing up everything, but the lights are going out and the darkness is coming to swallow you instead.
Yeah, and it was just...
That was well done.
It was... I will say that Adam Green did a great job directing this film as far as going with tension and suspense and, like, freaking you the fuck out. And there's also a really amazing scene when the protagonists, Dan, decided he was going to jump to go get help. Now, they knew about the wolves before then, right?
No, they did not know about the wolves.
They did not. Until Dan decided he was going to be the hero because he wanted to save his girlfriend.
Dumb.
He jumped from that height
and snapped both
of his legs.
The shot of the feet landing and breaking was probably one of the most...
It was a good visual of the bones shooting through his legs. But there was a lot of stupidity there, and there was a lot of, well, why doesn't he do this, and why doesn't he do that? And, you know, he regretted his decision.
Yes,
so
he should.
The first attempt of the second male character trying to climb the cable, isn't that when they noticed the wolves?
Yeah.
That's why he went back to the lift.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, oh yeah. So that's when he noticed the wolves, but they did hear wolves, right?
They did.
And
yes.
They said,
they
that's not
howling.
Wolves.
Coyote.
Yeah, it was a coyote.
Oh, fine. Yeah, they were trying to make
it
less
be fine.
Fearful. It'll be fine. Those aren't wolves you hear.
They're just puppy doggies.
What, Larry, what did you think? Like, when you started seeing that cringy scene with the falling down and breaking
the
legs.
I noticed you were upstanding. You looked like you
only
got some
because
attention.
I couldn't see.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people in front of me. But I could relate to that movie in many different ways because I've been a skier all my life, and I've been in situations similar to rickety contraptions, you know, and almost falling and whatever. And so when the wolves appeared, I don't really believe in the wolves doing things like that. But, I mean, they have, but I don't see that happening in real life. So that was unrealistic to me, that whole setup. But I've been in situations where you're literally about 1,000 feet down and you don't dare jump. And I've seen people jump and break their legs. And you're always looking around for trees, you know, if you need to get stuck. And sometimes you are stuck in the middle of this for several hours. And so those things do happen. So a lot of it I could really relate to. And I think it was a little talky at
a lot of the movie.
And it lost me there.
And you know, and a lot of that was because they had only three people in the movie, and they had to, like, fill time. It couldn't just be, like, you know, like, all of a sudden everything's suspense. So they had to fill time with a lot of talk about, like, their girlfriends or boyfriends, right.
But I
like
thought
that.
You didn't like Lifeboat movies like that, where it's all kind of in one, you know, small space. Because really the whole thing shrinks down to just the chair.
I'm glad you mentioned Lifeboat because that was the one movie that, like, those kind of and I'll bring that up again. I said earlier while we were watching the movie that this was almost like a Hitchcockian kind of movie where it's like set in one location mainly. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's all like one location. Like it's all the ski.
One chair.
You know, yeah. And mainly the chair is the main focus.
90% of the movie fourth, is in that lift chair.
The fourth character is the chair lift.
Right. And the fifth is the wolves.
The sixth is gravity.
Yeah.
Hitchcock would have been pleased.
Yeah, he would have been pleased. Like, this is the most Hitchcockian kind of thriller that, like, we've gotten independently.
You remember the focus on hands with Hitchcock? Well, we got the hand up the snow.
Glad you mentioned that. Because remember, we were talking about what's the difference between a thriller and a horror movie. This isn't a horror movie, but I would say this is a thriller.
I would say that this is a horror film,
I
will say this because it has now it also has thriller, so it might be both. You know, consider both. But I think this is horror because even though it has the suspense and thriller side of it, it has the gore and it has the scary like when those wolves attack. Like even though you don't see it, it's like a Jaws moment. You don't see Jaws eating, you know, whatever, but you. You can feel the tension and scariness.
But I mean, there are war movies too that are out there that have gore and that have suspenseful, scary moments too. And you wouldn't think of them as being horror movies either. There's nothing supernatural going on here. There's no stalkers. There's no slashers. There's really nothing like that.
No wolves.
Well, no. You know, there's wolves. Just wolves being wolves.
Right.
Although
wolves eating.
Like you said, I don't think that the wolves would generally do that either.
I have never seen wolves in the wild.
Like pack.
In
like
Alaska,
that.
I did, but. But they don't go after skiers. But, I mean, that may have happened in real life if, like, you know, if something really did happen
really
like
rare.
That. But they were just there too soon.
Right.
There are too many of them. And I don't think in Vermont there would be that many wolves.
Right. It's funny. It's supposed to be Vermont. It was actually shot in Utah. I looked that up. So it was shot in Utah. But it was supposed to be Vermont. And it was supposed to be close to... Massachusetts, because if you notice, like, a lot of them had the Boston accents and stuff.
Well,
so.
I did notice on the map there's a Mount Hollister in Massachusetts.
I do feel like the resort would have done more to make sure wild wolves stayed away from the lifts and the skiers more. Even if they were closing down for the week, the wolves were there way too fast, way too quickly, and they were way too
close.
Right.
Yeah, and they were...
And
they were attacking every person.
Yeah, wolves are timid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like coyotes.
And but you know, and I say I don't think this is a horror movie, but I don't mean that as a criticism. I mean in the same way that I don't think Open Water is a horror movie. It's more of a thriller in my opinion. Because, you know, I mean I guess there's some horror in that maybe people look at that and think, oh God, what if I were out in the water what if I was up in the ski lift? But of course, you know, I would never be in the open water and I would never be in the ski lift. So for me there is no horror there because I would not be in that situation.
Same.
You can't say can't say that about a vampire because it's, you know, you've
not
got no choice in it. However, as a thriller, you know, the first part of the movie, establishing everything, you know, was very slow. I didn't like it and everything. But the second half, when it finally gets rolling, it had a lot more to it. And I was a lot more interested in it. And I thought it was a lot better. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way the director shot the film and the way he paced it. I think it was very, very well done.
Yeah, I mean, when we talked about earlier about basically you had to do a lot of talking and stuff, a lot of that also, once again, is just, it's pacing, and it's trying to make sure that you're not just getting wolves, or you know, things happening all the freaking time.
Well, they can't
just say,
you know, they're on this chair and 3 hours later, you know, like they can't just fast forward
and
that.
And that's kind of the problem because the smart thing to do is to sit there.
Right.
It really is. If you're going to survive that situation, you have to keep your head and sit there. But that doesn't make for a thriller kind of movie. Right. It depends on the characters making dumb mistakes.
Dumb mistakes. Right. Like, I know when they started, he was talking about jumping, you're like, what are you doing, you idiot?
The entire movie, I was like, why isn't your scarf around your face if you're getting frostbite? Like, why aren't you doing this? Why isn't your hood up? Like, you're not trying to survive at all. You're just being an idiot. Like, natural survivalist here. Like, you're not trying at all.
Darwinism.
You know, it's like, and then the whole excitement of the movie was watching them have failed attempts to get off of this lift with their stupidity.
I noticed you noticing something about the face, or her face. At one point, it looked like it cleared up, and we weren't sure if maybe that was
makeup.
We thought that might have been like heat, sunlight and stuff.
Like maybe defrosting, but she had such bad frostbite where her skin was coming off, and then the sun comes up, and I get that melts away a little bit of ice, but their faces looked way too healthy for people who were freezing and frostbitten.
And that's when the pain would have come back.
They weren't acting like they were freezing.
They were starving.
They weren't saying anything about being hungry or thirsty or anything about that.
There was never any mention about pooping.
Exactly. Like, she peed on herself. Too. They both peed, because
they had that pizza.
Right.
And the pizza, well, she didn't. You know, she said she didn't want the car.
I feel like it just wasn't really realistic. There was no steam coming out of their mouth. Like, there's like, even here, if it gets cold enough, there's steam coming out of your mouth.
And
like, you're smoking.
The same thing with her hand. She clearly has really, really, really bad advanced frostbite damage to her hand.
Right, her hand got stuck.
And we
to the
see
pole
it,
and
but,
ripped off.
But after we see it and we know that it's there, it's not really referenced after that.
No, it just kind of disappears. It goes in her pocket for a few hours, and then she uses her hand later.
That, no continuity there.
That should be informing every moment after that, because that is going to hurt like a son of a bitch, when it's cold. Yeah. It's really going to be bad. She wouldn't be able to utilize that hand, and we see her utilizing it later.
Exactly.
Wouldn't the frostbite on her face, wouldn't it have spread instead
that
would have
spread too.
Being isolated.
And at one point, she just wiped a chunk of it off.
Right.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem to advance anymore.
Right. It just was very unrealistic. Like,
it's a tough, it's sort of a tough thing to do where you have to have these three, two at one point, characters who are dealing with, frostbite and all these other things. They have to constantly do this. And, you know, as a filmmaker, you have to make this interesting, but you also have to, not make it, be all about that. You know what I mean?
Right. Because
it's just a continuity thing.
The thing on the face doesn't really bother me, because that you can say, okay, they don't want to have, they only have a certain amount of money that they can put towards makeup, and they don't want to make it all about that. However, the thing with the hand does not require any more makeup or any more special effects or any more anything.
Right.
All it requires is that you direct the actor to remember you can't use that hand anymore.
Yep.
Whatever you do from here on out, that hand is done.
Don't move your fingers, nothing. Your hand is dead.
And the worst part is, I don't know, I didn't listen to commentary or whatever before doing this thing. So I have no idea if maybe they shot this in sequence of stuff, because when we make movies, we do things out of order, So there has to be a continuity person there saying, look, your hand is broken right now. So, and then when somebody moves their hand, they go, whatever. You're not going to be able to do that or whatever. And they have to have somebody special like that on set. This movie was a $200,000 movie, I'm pretty sure, $500,000 at the most, maybe.
Yeah.
It made $3 million at the box office, so it made, I think it made a pretty good profit. But when they don't really have people like that for those kind of movies.
I mean, what you said is all well and good when you have a lot of different locations, but there was one location.
Right.
One location was static, so it should have been in sequence all the way through.
Night and day, maybe that was why, because I do feel like, because they the movie went from daytime to nighttime to daytime to nighttime, So, you know, they probably filmed all the daytime scenes at once and all the nighttime scenes at once, which is why I feel when they got stuck up there at night and were severely frostbitten and then the next day was light, it didn't look as bad because they probably filmed that daytime scene before that frostbitten scene.
Very good point.
You know, so that's probably why the faces did not look
good. And that's why you have a continuity person. And even if you're not going to pay them that much, you just have a, you know, an assistant. You know, somebody say, hey, don't forget about the frostbite. That's all you have to say.
Right. So, yeah, no, I totally 100% agree that that was something
But even so, it's a minor nitpick overall. I mean, it was still a better movie. It turned out to be better than I feared it was going to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've seen much worse in other films.
And the continuity, like, honestly, if we've seen so many movies and everything, so... of these types, you know, of the independent variety that, you know, when we watch these movies, we notice these things. These are things that we are constantly thinking about. The normal audience, normal moviegoer probably wouldn't think about that.
And the normal moviegoer nowadays, honestly, probably is so busy on their phone, they're not paying attention or looking up, they're more listening to
this
it.
This is 2010, so...
But I'm just saying, like, the people listening, watching it now. People watching it now.
My main problem with the film was the characters. I really didn't care for the characters.
Right.
And
Well,
pretty much the whole movie.
Really? You didn't?
No, not really. And so that makes me not invested in them. And if I'm not invested in them, the problems that happen to them, it's not as sharp.
You don't care if they get home safe because you don't like them.
Exactly. So if more attention, and that's a writing thing, if more attention had been paid to just make them a little bit more symptomatic, or, you know, sympathetic or something, I personally would have been better. If they had been an older group of people, that would have been interesting.
Less douchey.
Less douchey.
Less high school-y.
Yeah, you were saying something about this, like, is this, like, supposed to be high schoolers in this movie, but...
I mean, typically the ski movies are.
Right.
They were supposed to, I think,
be They were in college, because they were talking about the frat boy douchebags that they know and stuff like that, and I'm like... I mean, I was like thinking, aren't you guys kind of the frat boy douchebags? Like, you're just the nicer douchebags.
They're douchey wannabes.
Yeah. douches
that couldn't get into the frats.
Little D douchebags.
Little D douchebags. And I, you know, like, when I first watched it, I mean, I never thought about that. I never thought that they were douchebags. You know, I just, I agreed. Like, I sort of... didn't care because, you know, them yelling at each other the whole time, you know.
They bickered at each other the whole time.
And didn't like each other, like, from the very beginning makes me... Right. Like, okay, from a story aspect and a screenplay aspect, that is supposed to happen.
Right. And I don't have a problem with the bickering in that instance.
If they don't like each other, they're stuck up there.
Right.
That's going to happen.
Well, the two guys liked each other. They've been best friends forever. Just the problem was, is... they were doing the whole, bro, I'm your best friend, now you have a girlfriend, and I don't think she should be here, and I think you should spend more time with me thing.
Right, so the other thing is they could have done a lot more of that. They could have said, okay, now that you're stuck there, all the shit that's been simmering under the surface all this time is going to come out now, because it has to.
That would have actually been more interesting if, like, all of a sudden the secrets, like, they could have done that for a while, honestly, they could have had Kevin Zegers, I think that's how you say
Kevin
his name.
Kevin Zegers.
Yeah, that guy's character, Dan, they could have had him more in it. Because I feel like maybe they couldn't afford him or something.
Right.
Because he's only in it for like 45 minutes.
This actor is the kid who played in Air Bud.
You got a story about that.
Yeah, just as when I was a 14-year-old girl, his face was plastered in Teen Beat magazine with a little address in the back where you could write him. I wrote him all the time saying, I am going to move to Canada and I'm going to be your next wife and I love you. And yep,
Kevin, if you are listening
right
now...
Do you see the effects you actors have on poor little innocent people?
I never watched any of the Air Bud movies. I saw his face in those magazines and he was cute and I was 13, 14-ish, you know, and I was like... I'm going to write this guy, and I'm going to move to Canada, you know, like young little teenage girls do.
That's cute. So, did he ever write back?
No.
Oh, damn.
No.
Kevin, what's wrong with you?
I don't think he even opened his own mail. It's one of those things, they just try to sell magazines.
No, they read it, and they're like, she said she's going to marry him. Psycho.
Well, plus, you're thinking, like, these are teenage girls, 13, 14, 15, writing somebody.
How old was he at the time?
He had to have been, like, at least maybe 18 or 17 or something like that. So the age group is not there. Like, No.
But
so,
you see, that is what, like, Air Bud and all those movies sort of brought to the
Air
people.
Bud, let me just make sure I understand this. This is the one about the basketball playing dog.
Like, I'm sure he wasn't that much older than me, but
he
at the same time...
He was the owner of the basketball playing dog. You know, that was his character.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
As a kid, he was a 13-year-old. He was supposed to play, like, 13 or something, or 15.
I don't know how old he was in those magazines, but he probably wasn't that much older than me because it was Teen Beat. But still, you know, celebrity. He's just a pretty face in
the
magazine.
You just
got to
be careful.
You know,
underage girls trying to say you're going to marry him. Probably not a good idea to write back and make them think.
But like
that
I said, he was probably only a few years older than me, but it was still enough of an age.
You know,
gap.
That just goes to show you that's how those magazines think. It doesn't really matter about the movie being good. It's not about the movie. It's about the pretty face.
Exactly.
Right. Whether it's male or female, talented or not. It doesn't matter.
So, like, so this guy, Kevin Zegers, he's only in it for like 45 minutes. So my idea was... Yeah, he died first, and my idea was that he was the one who cost the most money.
Probably.
And so they were like, we can only have you for X amount of days to shoot all your scenes, kill you off, and then... But the problem with that is, once you get just two people on there, what are they going to talk about, right? So what you were saying before, or, you know, what you're saying before was, like, it could have been interesting. It could have been, like, if they were, like... having
secrets
about each other.
Instead, she was crying to his friend, blaming him for the death.
But she did twice,
and
too.
And he was blaming her for stuff, and it was just this back and forth pity party.
That
it's
was...
your fault, it's your fault, I hate you.
Right,
and then later, after a nap, they're like, I'm sorry, we're friends now, okay?
No, it wasn't even that. Like, it was literally right after she yelled at him and said... I wish it were, you know, basically about to say, I wish it were you. And then he was like,
I wish it were you instead.
He was like, you wish it were me, weren't you? And she was like, I'm so sorry.
Right.
Let me hug you. And I'm like, no.
He basically cussed her out and then she cried and he's like, fine.
If it had been something where like she had cheated on him and he knew about it.
That would have been cool.
That would have been interesting. Or if they had cheated together and never told him and now they feel guilty because now he's dead and they have all this extra guilt. They could have utilized that scene or that
situation
much better.
Those are so
much
more fun when
the people
do that. Because
or she could have pushed him off the chair.
Right.
She could have pushed him off the chair. That would have been awesome.
But,
oh, pushed him off.
Then it would have been a horror movie because somebody would have committed murder.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Right. But instead she cried about the fact she had a new puppy at home and it was going to starve to death because she just wouldn't return home. You know, and then about how he was the one and she was going to marry him even though they just started dating.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the juvenilia part that I just...
You're just mad because you didn't get to marry him and he was supposed to marry him.
I didn't even recognize it when I first watched this movie. When I watched it, when it first came out.
He does not look like the Air
Bud
guy
he
was.
Been so many years,
but of course,
right?
He realized that's why he jumped because he thought he was emulating his stupid dog in the stupid movie. Hey, if Air Bud can do it, I can do it.
These are not golden retrievers. These are wolves. Oh, no. Do you all want to play basketball?
Right. I can dunk.
There was just a lot of things. The movie were like, well, why wouldn't you do this? Or you know, why wouldn't you cover your face and zip your jacket up all the way to prevent frostbite instead of just gabbing to each other about bullshit? Stop talking. Shut up. Zip up your hood.
Survive. Some of the stories, and I could be wrong, but some of the stories sounded like personal stories from, like, Adam Green's life or something, you know, and he just kind of put it in there, like, just put his, like, and it felt personal, you know.
The friend was sharing an embarrassing story about getting a kiss in high school.
And I have to say, I think that's kind of a problem I have with a lot of modern films, that they don't feel realistic because they don't have their characters go into survival mode. Now, I haven't been in a whole lot of dangerous situations in my life, unlike our friend here, but I did put myself in one, and... Even though I was somewhat inebriated, let's just say, the only thing I can think of was how am I going to survive this? And putting myself in a situation where I could survive it. Even though I was stoned off my gourd and I wasn't able to do it, I was able to at least do that because somewhere inside of me, a voice was kicking in saying, you have to survive this. Right. Here's how you do it. I think just about everybody has that.
That adrenaline rush, that survivor instinct.
You said that too. When she finally gets off and that stuff. And
she falls and the lift falls on her.
And the lift falls on her and on her leg. She's limping the whole time. And you were like, you know, I wouldn't have even cared if it like landed on me. My adrenaline would be
it landed on her ankle, and I'm sure it broke something. But at the same time, at that point, your adrenaline would kick in and be like, no, I am getting off this mountain. It's just my ankle. I will lift my foot up and I will go.
You would be in fight or flight mode sort of thing. Exactly. Like, because you know the wolves are still out there. Like, I do understand
she was weak. She, you know, she hadn't really had any water or any food, and she was
traumatized. It really does.
I think it would have. I think that fight or flight would have kicked in, and she would have tried a little harder.
So it wouldn't have been like, people wouldn't go, oh no, she would not be like on that leg. No, they would be like, oh my god, she better be on that leg.
I don't care how much it hurt, I'll be running down that hill. I'll be rolling. And then she got halfway down the hill and ran into the wolves that were eating the friend.
Oh, that was a great scene.
And they just looked at her in the eyes and like, we have a meal. Yeah, we're good. You can go. We'll let
it was
you go.
Scary though, because for a second you didn't know.
Right. We're just gonna eat the boys. We're full.
But I told you, man.
Animals are not gluttons.
Yeah.
When they have enough food, they won't attack
anyone. Exactly. And they don't want to leave their kill either.
At that point, once he was going down, I was like, I don't care about the wolves.
Right.
You know, I'll fight them if I have to. I'd much rather do that. And, you know, with her, when she's down there, she can get a stick, she can get a rock.
Punch him in the face. Nobody punched a wolf in the face.
Well,
I'm assuming they weren't allowed to because these were expensive wolves. Right. But, like, this wolf is tearing at your arm and you're reaching for your ski thing to stab him. You have a perfectly good fist in your hand. Pop him in the face and then grab your
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Don't
unless you didn't have a good grip on it.
That's the thing, though.
Right? Pop him in the nose. At least startle him enough to look over a second.
I think that's a myth, the punching the sharks in the nose, because I think what I've heard is if you actually punch a shark in the nose, the shark is going to eat you.
Well,
sharks don't really, they're not eating people on purpose. They generally take a bite and then they find out that you're something that they don't want, then they let go.
But do they, I mean, they probably like eating humans.
I don't think so. Really no. Humans have I forget what it's called, but humans have a particular hormone in them that makes them taste bad to most animals. Now, the problem is that it's also addictive. So when an animal does eat a human being, it tends to get addicted, and then it wants to eat it.
That's why I went after the second one.
So there's a book called The Lions, The Killer Lions of Tsavo, which is what they made The Ghost in the Darkness based on.
It's
a really good book, and that's why they have to hunt down lions and leopards and things like that, who actually develop a taste for human beings, because most animals don't like the taste of humans.
What were you saying?
So we're like junk food.
Right, bears too.
We're not good. They don't want to eat us, but once they get a taste of us, like, I want a Snickers.
Just in the whole idea of trying to, you know, fight for your life and survive, the first guy didn't even actually fight for his life. He just kind of like curled up in a ball and let them devour him. He pulled
his beanie over his face and was like, eat me.
Yeah.
Pretty much, but at that particular point, he had no legs and everything. Yeah, he really couldn't do much.
You would still fight.
Well, you've got a nice jagged bone right there. You got to pull that puppy out and stab them in the face.
I was thinking the same thing, honestly. Yeah. But like, the last thing I would do is pull my beanie over my face and be like, let all these wolves attack me. I would be punching, grabbing, clawing, biting if I have to.
Girlfriend see me get torn apart.
He was just yelling at his buddy to hide his girlfriend's eyes. Don't let her look.
Dumbass.
But see, that scene was so good, though, because, like, that dude was climbing at the particular moment, and then he saw it, but we didn't see it. We didn't know anything.
He saw it from up climbing, and
then he went back.
And for a moment, I thought he finally, like, common sense kicked in, and he's like, I'm not going to make this. Going back.
That's exactly what everybody was supposed to think, I'm pretty sure.
I wish the two of them would have grabbed some stuff and thrown it down and tried to at least distract the wolves from eating him. They didn't even try. They were just like, la, 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 you know? All of them were. Even the guy
and,
didn't eat.
And that goes back to the other thing I said too, back when I said that they were doing this in the darkness, which is the last time you want to do that, because you can't see anything.
True.
You can't judge the odds of survival or anything because you can't see.
It also is really,
so you should wait till day.
You need to wait till daytime.
Really hard
until
you jump.
Reassess.
I don't even remember why he jumped.
Because she was crying about not wanting to die there, and he was trying to be a hero. But it really is hard to remember when you're watching this, though, that we may be able to see what's going on, but they probably can't. So that is something that's hard to remember. Is like, we say, like, oh, you should throw something down, but then again, I forget. For them, it's probably pitch black, and they probably can't see.
Which is why you don't jump, you don't climb in the darkness, you don't do
what they should have done. Super dangerous things. Huddled up the best they can, zip their hoodies all the way, shut their mouths, and wait until the sun came up. And then they would have better odds. Or when that snow plow came, and then do jump.
That's the problem, is that that doesn't make a movie. You're kind of required somebody to do something stupid.
Because otherwise it would be like a short.
Right. If we used common sense, we wouldn't have movies. You know?
They gave them horror movie tropes. They have the dumb jocks, the stupid maneuvers.
Yep.
Just so to even make for
a thriller, it's a horror film.
And Kane Hodder.
Good point. Thank you.
Kane Hodder was in this first split second.
Still think it's a horror film.
As you know, the snowplow driver.
Yes, Kane Hodder. It's a horror film.
So they tried to dress it up.
Right.
But,
so as soon as the lift got stuck, they were fearful that they were going to be stuck up there, and then the snowplow comes under them. Like, oh, cool, we're saved. We've only been up here a short period of time. Awesome. But he turns around and he doesn't see them, even though they're throwing all the stuff at them, and they waste their scarf and everything that they could have used later, throwing it at this guy, and he just does not see them and leaves, you know. At that point, I might have thrown my body on that snowplow and just be like, I'm going to die anyway, I'm going to sacrifice myself, y'all will live.
By the way, I see Kane Hodder at horror conventions all the time, always wearing Frozen shirts.
There you go.
Yeah, I was always promoting the movie, so.
Well, somebody has to.
Ouch!
But it's...
I'm surprised he acknowledges.
Yeah, well, the wolves aren't going to do it. So.
Right.
Yeah,
it should, but the picture of the shirt should say Frozen with a wolf, with just, you know, like...
Yeah, like
the wolf
up.
Giving the thumbs up, going.
Yeah, the wolf's like, you know, I don't always eat frozen food, but every now and again.
That's what it should have been called, frozen food.
Right.
Frozen treats.
Frozen wolf treats.
White guys can't jump. Right.
White guys can't bounce.
No. Oh my god! Yeah. So this. Oh man. This. So I mean, this movie. Okay, so it has its problems,
it's a hit
right?
Scratcher.
Oh yeah,
and it's got its problems. Isn't to say much, because like most indie films have problems whatever. But for its problems, it's actually not that bad.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like,
and for its price tag, it's not too bad.
Yeah, it's an interesting movie. Like, it's not a bad watch. Like, I recommend watching it. Just don't put your hopes up too high.
I this is a movie I watched like more than, you know, like a few times. You know, like I can actually put this on and watch it. It's kind of, you're right, it's very much like Open Water. I actually really like Open Water, but like that movie terrifies me too. Like the idea of being out in the open sea with
because
sharks.
You can't even see, and that's what makes Open Water worse. You can't see what's going on.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched this movie when it first came out, and I was a little dissatisfied with it then. I never watched it again.
And then you watched it now, and are you still dissatisfied with it
necessarily? I mean, it still annoyed the crap out of me, and I think that a lot of the stuff they did was just dumb. But
then again, that's a movie thing.
That's
a
movie thing.
I mean,
you know?
I'm glad I saw it. You know, I'm glad that I got a chance, because I probably never would have seen it if it hadn't been for Moody showing it.
Right.
I probably wouldn't buy it or own it, but...
This isn't something that you would seek out or whatever. No. What about you, Larry? This is something because you were, you know, the last movie that we had you do, you know, unfortunately it was a tiring movie. And it was a completely different movie than this one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
At least that one had boobies in it.
Yeah, that one's had a lot of boobies in it. Yeah. But this movie was more like, you know, I guess more mainstream of the kind of stuff. What did you think when you watched it? Did you enjoy watching it?
I did, but except for the talking moments and stuff. But I realized that was a bonding technique, and you know they wanted us to love them or hate them or something. To have an emotional connection. Yeah, it's so when you know they're tragically lost and we're going to feel something in one way or the other. But
well, we did.
But I could talk. Well, I did. I mean, you know, I felt bad. Yeah, sure. Humanitarian, but. I related to the skiing part of it and the being in a ski lift and being dangled. You know, I've slipped and I've had to pull myself back up and fall asleep. And I had the bar up. I didn't even have it down.
You fell asleep on a ski lift?
Well, you're kind of like dozing off, you know, because I've been drinking all night or whatever.
Oh, man.
I used to drink and ski.
Drinking and skiing already sounds like a horror movie.
Ask Sonny Bono about that.
Well, yeah, I've had
Close calls with trees too. Skiing the trees. Ugh. Yeah. Jumping off cliffs. I was a cliff jumper.
Oh man.
But, anyway, it's just I
you should have written this movie. Would have been better.
Yeah. I think if they were drunk, it would have been better.
it's interesting, you know. Larry, he says, "Oh, well, I did feel that something for these people because I'm a humanitarian." And I'm like, I like animals better. I was happy the wolves were fed.
Right.
And there's a couple less idiots in the world, and that's good overall. Yeah.
But I'm sure the movie had a different feel when you've actually been skiing and had some similar experiences like this. You know, as me, I have no experience with this. So I was like, why don't you do this? But at the same time, I was like, I wouldn't know because I don't ski.
But I agree with you, though. They should have climbed up. So to begin with, they were still strong. They had strength the first day.
Right.
And then got up on their belly and crawled.
Something. Used more layers of their clothing so they cut through as bad. You know, there were ways.
If that one dude just waited till the next day and everything.
And assessed the situation.
Right. Assessed the situation. He could have climbed up the thing, climbed down. And maybe there would have been wolves. Right. Maybe there wouldn't have been at
that point. But they were showing.
Scared of them.
Yeah,
they were showing the you know how you panic in that situation and how important it is to respond immediately before things get worse. You know, so it was trying to show you like a lot of those scenarios and stuff. And plus, if they tried smarter things, there wouldn't be a movie. You know, but I think if they would have waited till morning and all three of them, like one at a time, would have gone to that ladder and then all three climbed at once, they would have been able to bow themselves up enough, or maybe the wolves wouldn't have wanted to attack them and have a better chance.
There's kind of a false panic going on there because if you just stay there, nothing can really happen. Of course, there's no movie there, but you know, when they start bringing in like the 9/11 thing, talk about jumping off of that because the fate would have been worse than death. They didn't have that option to just stay there.
And
so it's
frozen,
not the same thing.
They were pretty cold, but they weren't really that frozen. And nobody died from being frozen. The only two deaths were by wolves instead of being frozen. So one of them should have gotten stuck on that lift, and it shown like a week later them finding their frozen dead body up there. I think that would have
Jack Nicholson in the
Shining. Right, that would have been a better ending than her getting away, honestly, because... You know, first off, she was kind of... I don't know if she deserved to be the one who got out of there. I don't think anybody deserved to. But at the same time, I think with the movie being called Frozen, it would have been nice to see somebody actually freeze to death.
Yeah.
There's a different type of Frozen. Frozen with fear.
True. True.
And you think that might have been what they were going with?
It's a double entendre.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
That's interesting. Also, I want to go back to the fact that we talked earlier about the wolves... being too close to the ski lift stuff and everything.
Right.
It started making me wonder, like there was no, like, all of a sudden the wolves were, like, let go of some area or something. Like, these wolves would have been where the skiers and people are.
And that
would
not be.
They wouldn't have allowed it.
I think the resort would have had barricades.
Yeah,
up
barricades
or
around.
And frankly, the wolves would have smelled humans. And
or we should
have
saw.
Right.
We should have. What we should have saw was like there maybe like the barricade got broken or something.
But,
and
they would have shown
through.
Wolves.
Or what they should have done
in.
Is they should have said something along the lines of, "Well, you know, we've been having a problem with all these wolves because they've been getting into the trash because it's been a very rough winter.
Right.
We haven't had this problem before, but all of a sudden we're having it."
Right. Make a reason for them to be there.
And the reason we didn't get that is because they wanted to surprise us with the wolves.
Yeah, it was a surprise.
Which was a surprise, which... was a cool surprise, but like in the same sense,
it had been evil bunnies, that would have been a surprise.
The first death wasn't very brutal, and I was sad I didn't get to see the actual gore. But at least on the second wolf's death, they actually did show the body and a little more of the brutality and stuff.
All right, Larry, what are you going to say?
Yeah, there's a glimmer of realism here because you know how in the pandemic the animals have come out of the woods into the towns. We've got coyotes. We've got just about everything down where I live in my town now, the things that never were there before. So I'm thinking that maybe they grew accustomed to them leaving for the week. And, you know, and then so they've lost their fear of man so much. But I don't know. I mean, it's possible. But
there's no explanation of that or anything, which, I mean, that's fine. It's like really just the idea of being eaten by wolves, which is you said should be the title of the film. That's just a fear that somebody might have in the woods, like, you know, if they got stuck. Right. Like, oh my God, there's, you know.
Which we didn't ask your opinion, Cody.
I mean, personally, I like survival films. again, I agree that it shouldn't be considered a horror film because there was no true, you know.
It wasn't like,
you know, it wasn't horror, an abstract horror. Reason it to be
more,
afraid.
More of a thriller horror.
Yeah, it was a fear of survival. Yeah.
Survival, that's a good idea, right. You know. The Revenant.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I mean, yeah, it's not a real horror film.
The whole, what was the family that went ravenous back in
Alive
the 1800s.
Alive or whatever, is it, what did it mean? Oh.
It was like Ravenous was based off
of... Oh, Ravenous.
It. Oh, yeah, you're okay. Talking about the people in the Sierras, the pack, I think it was where they packed.
The family Robinsons, I want to say. Mm. Well, the family that ate each other.
Nom.
But yeah, what if they would have been so hungry
party?
They would
the
have
Donner
been eating
party.
Each other?
Yeah. Oh, Donner Party. Okay, yeah. That's right.
I knew people that were descendants of the survivors.
Oh, wow.
In my town, Northern California.
And I mean... The whole survival aspect, what would I do in this situation? It's a disconnect if you would never see yourself in the situation, so I don't... It right. wasn't a bad film. There was just a lot of... There was a lot of criticism because I would never be in that situation.
Right. You would have acted differently.
You never
probably. But overall...
Crash in the Andes? Where the soccer team ate each other?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Overall,
that's
though, like, life. Would you own the movie or recommend the movie to anybody?
It's worth a watch. It's worth a watch. Yeah.
That's pretty much how I see it.
I wouldn't spend a whole lot of money on it. I wouldn't really pay to rent it. But if it's free on a streaming service,
did you see the turkey?
You know, it's good for a watch.
Right.
I would watch it once, but it's not something I you know, like Jonathan, I would repeat
Dong
a
bang.
Few times.
So I'm looking at the also known as Frozen. Like, these are the titles that they have for Turkey. Turkey has a title. Ukraine has a title, whatever. But
like
Vietnam says Dong Bang.
Well, that's probably
a word.
That's
what they call this movie?
Yes. I don't know if
why
that's
do they
what...
call it Turkey in Turkey? I don't understand.
What?
Why do they call
it's
it
Turkey?
No.
Oh, no. They just said that it's Frozen in Turkey. It's called Frozen in Turkey.
Oh, okay.
But no. They call it Dong Bang in Turkey. I don't know if that's what Frozen...
What?
Like, whatever, but Dong Bang. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
That might have been a better movie.
Sounds like
know.
A Triple X movie, but it's not.
Right? That sounds like the movie
like
we just watched
right?
last night.
They didn't even huddle for warmth in this. Like, they didn't even try to stay warm. And, like, so there was no breath coming out of them. Like, they were eating.
Yeah, that was a big problem. No breath.
Yeah. For something being called Frozen and them so cold, they did not act like they were cold.
It didn't seem as cold.
Well, it's Vermont in the winter. That's cold, but we're not talking about Alaska in the winter.
Yeah.
Or northern Sweden in the winter.
Yeah.
Antarctica.
I did want to point something out, which I thought was kind of cool. Adam Green likes to write character names based on people he knows. Joe, the character Joe Lynch, so they say, you know, they say his name Lynch a lot or whatever, is actually one of Adam Green's, like, really good friends. They have a podcast together called Movie Crypt. And I'm actually one of their Patreons because I, patrons, you know, because I adore their stuff or whatever. They are great. So thank you, Adam, for doing that. Also, Adam Rifkin is mentioned, sort of like a character named Rifkin. And I was like, that's cool. I think all of the names are based on people Adam knows, you know, or whatever, like childhood friends or friends or whatever. So I thought that was a pretty cool, like, little Easter egg thing there. Whenever I kept hearing Lynch, I kept smiling, you know, or whatever. I honestly, this movie to me was fun and, you know, sort of, it had moments where I closed my eyes because some of the stuff, the frostbitten hand sometimes when I see her doing that.
If you're a little squeamish to, you know, like skin being ripped off and bones being cracked out, then you definitely will flinch.
But you did.
Like, that doesn't make me squeamish. It makes me go, ooh, that hurts, but that's about it.
You did notice when she had her head on the pole and she was sleeping on it. You thought her head was...
We thought for sure, because that didn't make sense, that her hand got basically glued to the pole and her skin ripped off, but they put their faces on that pole so many times and it didn't have the same effect.
Right.
And even before her hand, she fell asleep in her hand with her hand on the pole and it got frozen overnight. She was putting her bare hand on that pole for so many hours before she fell asleep. I can't even put, like, my hand on a cold bar here, when it's, like, 50, 40 degrees outside without going, ooh, that's chilly. So the fact that she had her hand bare hand on that rail for most of the movie, and it wasn't, she didn't even be like, oh, it's cold, or maybe I don't want to put my hand here and keep it in my pocket. That was a little unrealistic.
It's an unnecessary thing. All you have to do is go like this. Put you know you're going to sleep.
Right.
You pull your hands.
Pull your arms and stuff in your jacket. Yeah. Zip your jacket all the way up. That one, like, Joe didn't even have the hood of his jacket up over his head. And yet he's sitting there with snow and ice all over his mustache. Like, put your hood up. Zip your coat. Breathe into it. You know, create some warmth. But then they would have survived and there wouldn't be a movie. So,
it
you know.
Was way off.
I think I think what Moody really hates is the pee scene where she finally has to pee and then feels terrible about it.
Right, she's so ashamed of herself, and she mentioned earlier she had to pee, and she managed to hold it for way longer than I thought she could.
Which women apparently can do.
Right?
I mean,
but eventually when Joe fell asleep, she just peed herself, and it was just this shameful thing of her just kind of crying and peeing.
And that's the other problem is because she's going to now, that whole area is going to be wet, and if she stays overnight, it should also freeze.
But it wasn't. It didn't freeze.
And that should be all kinds of pain down there.
Yeah, you should have, you know.
But they didn't follow up with
that. An icicle forming somewhere, you know. Or at least your butt be stuck to the seat. But no, they didn't. She peed. She was embarrassed. She cried. It was shameful. And then that just went away like it never happened. She wasn't frozen. She wasn't stuck. She got up just fine.
It kind of undermines itself every now and again, which is unfortunate.
Well, Cody brought up something. Do you want to mention that?
When I was trying to figure out the name of the family that ate each other, I mentioned the Swiss Family Robinson. That was a Disney film, a Disney family film. Yeah, so I was wrong. Yeah, Donner Party. Whoops.
We'll watch Disney movies next time. It's okay. Right. We'll watch a different Frozen.
Now, that's a Disney movie I'd watch.
Right?
Really?
That's a Frozen.
They eat each other? Right? Sure.
Oh, okay. You
want
to
watch Elsa frozen on a ski leaf peeing
your
pants.
There
you
go. There you go.
That's that.
If The Little Mermaid was a slasher movie, I'd watch it.
Right? I mean, the original Disney stories, I'm pretty sure, wasn't she like a cannibal or something? Who knows?
I don't know, but
Ariel was like Jack Frost with the killer snowman.
Yeah, we did that for Indie Film Cafe.
We did.
Yeah, that was a fun one to do.
Jack Frost, oh yeah.
See Gilligan's Island as a horror movie.
There you go. Right? I'm dying to see that.
It'd be a Cannibal Island, basically.
They
would
eat each other. Cannibal Island. They eat each other.
Ginger would be queen, yes.
Killigan's Island.
Killigan's Island.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, we have a
perfect.
Party.
Perfect. Copyright. Hey, they did the Banana Splits movie. You never know, man.
Larry owns that. Don't steal it.
Well, no, I mean, Blumhouse has been putting out these, remakes of, like, Fantasy Island and everything. I wouldn't be surprised if they did Gilligan's Island, but, like, you know, they kill each other.
They just
you know,
like Club Dread.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, that was a comedy horror film. Which,
I mean, they weren't stranded. It was, you know, a little stupider than that.
Fun resort or whatever area, you know. So... I don't know. I think this movie had some,
had some substance. I'd give it a watch if it was free on streaming.
On Tubi, I believe.
Right. If you haven't seen it, watch it. See for yourself.
If you haven't watched it, why are you listening to our podcast talking about it and like spoiling the hell out of it?
Because some people just like to support us. And
think about
to
this
us.
Too. What if they had thought a little bit outside of the box? And instead, while they're up there, it's not wolves, but there's something else, like a white. Or
some
vampire,
sort of
or
a
yeti,
or
something else,
the
something
woods
supernatural.
That they were terrified of and you never see it.
Right,
you know,
or
something.
That we don't even know what
right.
it is.
The Mist from Lost.
Right, something. White Walkers, something. Something that would push it over into the horror realm. That could have made it a little bit more of an interesting film.
I'm kind of sad because even IMDb says it's a thriller and not a horror film.
Right.
It said on
Wikipedia.
So it was a horror film for Jonathan because just the whole legs breaking. to
the
him,
gore.
It was super scary.
Yes, I still technically think it's a horror
the
film.
Girl
but it says
peeing herself.
Adventure, drama, thriller.
Wikipedia calls it a horror. So.
Oh, Wikipedia calls it a horror.
That's because they let anybody write anything on there.
Did you sneak that on there before the podcast?
There you go. He did. Oh, so it's a thriller.
He did.
That's
that.
What I was on my phone with.
Yeah, he did that as
show
we were talking.
Bastards.
Right.
And then it just updated, like, real quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think a lot of, and maybe a lot of people do call this a horror film because Adam Green is the director and Adam Green did Hatchet, which is a horror film. Then he also did Spiral, which is a thriller. That is absolutely 100% a thriller. That's not a horror film.
So there you go. This is kind of sort of a step between the two.
This is a step between the two, but it is.
And he had Kane Hodder in it again, just like he didn't Hatchet. Yeah. Even though it was a camp, like a little part.
Well, I think he was also probably a stunt coordinator too, would be my guess. I'm sure. And so he was there making sure that those people who were falling off the fucking thing were doing it, you know, safely. I adore Kane Hodder, and so I just when I see him on anything, like he pops up in movies from time to time, and I'm like, Kane,
right? Yeah, and sometimes you don't even know it's him because he's, you know, he's disguised.
To me, if you have a situation where characters are in an isolated, dangerous situation, that's a thriller. You put them in an isolated, dangerous situation, you add in aliens or monsters or vampires,
right?
That's a horror movie.
You
know what I mean?
It's tough because, like, I still think if it has blood and guts and gore or whatever, you know, or something, and they had guts. Like,
but a lot of action movies also have blood and guts.
Exactly.
And
gore
too,
war movies have that.
Right. I mean, I don't
know. But if it installs fear in you, I could see considering a horror, or if it, you know,
it never instilled fear in me.
Yeah. But everybody has their own fears, so I know. It may have been more of a thriller for us.
Do you consider Jaws a horror film?
That's tough. I've always argued back and forth about that. For a long time, I said no, and then a lot of people kind of sort of maybe convinced me. I'm still on the fence about that. The only reason I can say maybe it's a horror film, just because it's not very realistic. It's another example of where there's no shark that's in the world that's going to act like that. So that's an unnatural shark thing going on. So.
But if you take in part like all the sequels and stuff too, like I don't know if I would consider it a horror film. Like, yeah, you're scared of the shark, and the shark kills people. But like I said, there's nothing supernatural going on or stuff like that. Like it's an animal killing people.
But it's not acting like an animal.
One, right?
That's the
problem.
Second
one, if it comes
you know,
second
a real shark would not have done any of the things that Jaws did.
So maybe the zombie Jaws, you know. Yeah.
Well, no, in the second Jaws, the first one gets electrocuted or whatever, and then there's a second shark coming after him, and so that's to me is the horror. I mean, but then the sequels are more horror-like.
Right.
You know,
sequels are horrible.
Yeah,
like, I don't know.
To me, it's another thriller thing with horror aspects.
Right. Maybe that's the thing. It's a thriller with horror aspects. But it was always in the at the video store that I worked at. It was always in the horror section.
Oh, yeah. And as a horror action figure collector, we had tons of Jaws stuff. I have tons of Jaws stuff. And almost every horror fan loves Jaws and collects Jaws
stuff. But that's what it does. It has to have the animal do something unnatural.
Right.
Do something what it's not going to do in order for it to become even considered a horror movie.
Right.
Yeah. So. Well, there you go. So, I don't know. I'm very on the fence about this. I really love... You know, this movie is, like, I always consider it a horror film. So, and we are on horror film lovers, so it's sort of funny that now, I guess, you know, thriller film lovers doesn't work really, but...
I don't know, I like thrills.
It's a broad umbrella. We can talk about all different kinds of
things. I think there's enough in this movie to consider it horrific.
You might be right, though.
There are sci-fi movies that fit under the umbrella, too.
Right.
Yeah.
What differentiates horror from terror?
Right, true.
Or a thriller.
To me, it's
disgust.
It's the supernatural element.
Or murder, serial killers, like stuff like that.
But even then, they always have people going above and beyond what normally happens.
It's really funny. I had just watched the was Edgar Wright movie, the Soho movie, and I was talking to my parents and I was explaining them the premise of the movie, and they go, "That sounds like a thriller to me, not a horror." And I was like, "I guess that is a thriller." Like it wasn't like, you know, like it was, but there was there was a ghostly aspect to it and stuff. There was like fake ghost things, like things.
See, I think the term thriller has changed over the years. Back when it was film noir days and Alfred Hitchcock days, it was really thrillers meant more like espionage,
James Bond type.
Yeah, spies, that kind of a thing. And it's more than that now. It's a broader
Silence
term.
Of the Lambs changed that, I think.
I think so too.
Yeah, that
I think
might
that
have been
definitely
the movie that did that.
Because that's another thing where people say that it's a horror movie. I'm like, no, that's
I don't. That
not
I
a
know
movie.
100%. I do not consider that a horror
movie. Exactly.
I consider that a thriller. I mean, I don't
you
know, but
people.
Wow.
He does eat people, I guess, but like you don't really.
That's disgusting.
Yeah,
I mean, you see it in Hannibal.
Or it's recycling. It's just being, you know, savvy.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking more of Hannibal than Silence of the Lambs.
And he's you know, maybe he's more like the wolves. Okay, like Hannibal's like the wolves.
But I mean, it's an investigation movie. That one.
Yeah, it's a thriller.
Yeah, yeah. It's a thriller. The only horror element, in my opinion, is when he gets out and he like starts to murder people and he hangs the one guy out. Where doesn't hang him? I guess he gives him a blood eagle. Okay, that's horror.
Yeah,
that's the one horror element that's in there.
Yeah,
well, it's like watching Criminal Minds.
Yeah, so I agree, but it's one of those things where you watch, you know,
it's a mashup.
Yeah,
which a lot of things nowadays are going to be mashups.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
And survival horror is a thing. I mean,
right.
Like I said, open water, you know, what's the 66 meters down where they're in the cage. Mm. And there's a number of these kinds of things that fit into the horror category, but aren't really horror movies.
I don't know. 37 meters down or whatever it was. Like, I think that was
47 meters down.
Or something like that.
And some shark thing.
Yeah. It's, you're right. It might could be considered a thriller and not a horror. But it goes into the Jaws territory of like, you know, being scared of eaten by a shark and everything. And I guess that's the horror aspect is the idea of.
It's about the animal acting out of its own typical behavior that makes it the horror.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like Saw, which you're trying to survive as well, but instead of a shark, you've got this creepy little fucking doll. And, you know, the gruesome, I don't think it matters so much. It's just who is creating the tension and the problems here.
Right.
Is it a shark doing what it's supposed to do? Or is it this creepy little freaking doll that somehow has you captured and is enjoying the fact that you are going through all of this thing and it knows that you're not going to be able to cut your own hand off in order to escape because, you know, humans are weak. Yeah, there's supernatural stuff involved.
Right.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, we are at the end of our show, but I want to thank everybody here for coming on and chatting with us and actually seeming to enjoy the movie.
There was a big discussion on this one a lot.
Listen
on.
To the
yeah, a lot more than you're expecting.
Blather on and on about goofy stuff.
You even said before this, I don't know if there's enough for an hour. We
right, because like, to me it's like, douchebags get on ski lift, douchebags fall off a ski lift, they get eaten by wolves, one surprise.
But then we just
the bare bones plot and characters are kind of meh, but there's more to it, and it brings more of a discussion.
Right.
Yeah, things. And I mean, and like we said, there could have been things that they could have done better or whatever to fix things, continuity issues, and issues.
Just more realism would have been fine for me because I understand you do have to have some of these issues to make a movie, or there would be no movie. But a little more realism would have been.
But
nice.
You know what? I mean, for a low budget movie, not everybody can be Stanley Kubrick.
True.
And just pump out a masterpiece.
So. Yeah.
So it wasn't a bad movie. I mean, I would recommend seeing it once. Just don't pay a lot of money for it.
But that's why I love Stanley Kubrick, because everything he does is a masterpiece.
Gold.
Yeah. Sarah's one's up next, so we're excited to see what she has to offer. I have no idea, and I don't think you do either.
I have a few to choose from, and we will find out soon.
Yeah, so there you go. And you guys will find out soon. So you guys will be back in another month in February for another Horror Film Lovers.
Thank you for having me on. This was
fun. Yes, thank you everybody for being here.
Okay. I'm glad I got to have you guys on here. You guys never been on the show.
This is me and Jonathan's first podcast actually doing live together.
I know.
I live in a whole different state, and we flew in for some work. So usually we're doing this on Zoom. So this time we are actually sitting at a table face-to-face having a discussion, which is pretty fun.
And it's nice because you get to talk about a movie that isn't a stinker for once.
Right.
Well, I mean, and that's the plan of this is like, I mean, there might be movies that we pick that I like a little better than she likes.
Right. Or movies that we remember loving, but it's been a while since we watched them. And the second time we watch them, we're like, I remember it a little differently. But it's still a discussion and it's still great. And, you know, it's been fun.
Yeah. So far, thankfully, though, we've picked some pretty good ones that we haven't so I think we're like I've had my plan I already have mine picked out of what I want.
I have a few that I'm going to put on the list, so tune in next time to see what I pick.
Yes, and thank you Paul is on our show Indie Film Cafe. He has some other shows. Plug your other shows.
Oh, Sexploitation Sleaze Cast and Forgotten Horror Classics. the microphone just hit Tony's Chacherie's Creole seasonings. Yeah, and there are other shows that I'd like to get involved with and get to do. We'll see what happens. I'm a very busy bovine, so I can only fit in what I can fit in. That's what
she said. Exactly. There you go. And then G. Larry Butler, we have a podcast together as well.
Yeah, Hooked on Hitchcock, and it's coming up real soon. And
yeah, we're gonna do our final episode of the season coming up, and then so you already have heard that because that'll be already aired. And then we've got the next season that we'll be planning. So.
Oh, it's going to be a great season.
Oh, yeah.
We had little stinkers.
Yes, we did.
He doesn't like to talk about that.
It was too stinky.
My partner retired.
So he can't watch it by himself, you know. He can't do that to poor Larry.
Well, it's because of the subject matter. It just was a little overwhelming.
Sorry.
If you really like horrible movies, tune in. It's in the archives, right?
Horrible movies you can share with your kids.
That's right.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
That was the basis of the show.
Just traumatized the little buggers.
We went from Santa Claus Meets the Easter Bunny all down.
No, that was the last one you did.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying with level-wise, we went even further. Did I end up showing you Fun in Balloon Land?
Yes.
Oh, man.
God, I just, well, Larry's traumatized.
Where did you find these in a dark alley somewhere?
Yeah,
I have such sold a out giant of a trench movie coat. Collection. You haven't seen Fun in Balloon Land.
Nope, and I won't.
Yes, you will. We're gonna do it
on Indie Film Cafe.
No,
somewhere?
No, but we'll squeeze it in somewhere. Okay. Maybe a Patreon only.
Oh, okay. Poor me. All right, and Cody, well, you haven't really been on. Do you do a podcast yourself?
No, I don't
anything?
Do podcasts. This is
your
my
second
podcast. Yeah.
Wow.
I drug him along, and he's doing very well participating.
So, what do you think?
I try.
You like
do you
it?
Enjoy yeah. doing podcasts?
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah,
it's fun.
You're not used to podcasts. You're not used to acting, but you know, you do some voice work, and you do a band. You're in a good brutal death metal band called Malignant Rot. So. You know, you are a performer just like the rest of us.
Malignant Rot?
Malignant Rot. Texas nice. Death Metal.
Do you guys have like a Facebook page?
There is a Facebook page. There is a Bandcamp with a new CD out, so please go check it out.
We just released that CD, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Are you on YouTube?
Yeah.
Yep.
I would love if there was like a polka band called Malignant Rot. It would be so awesome.
We should do
polka
yes.
album.
Yes.
Yeah. A whole polka album just for you, Paul.
That would be so great.
It was great having you sit in for this. And then, of course, there's me and Jonathan. Yep. You know, your regulars.
Yeah, and we got plenty of stuff going on, too.
Oh, yeah.
We're kind of roping these guys into a bunch of different stuff that we're doing this week since we have this stuff. And you'll be back in March for another shoot. So we might get you for another Horror Film Lovers Live. You
right?
Know,
yeah.
Thing,
I'm just
you know.
Working on a bunch of movie projects with Jonathan here and doing this podcast so far. But I may dip my toes into another podcast eventually. Just... not at the moment. I got a lot going on.
Oh, we got plenty of movies to share. I got plenty of movies to share with you. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. Paul loves to be like, hey, is Sarah available?
I'm probably a guest on a lot more of Paul, so please check out all of those.
Yeah, see,
you know,
see Paul's the one always
maybe
asking.
Maybe I'll do that sexploitation podcast a few times, you know, because, you know, that was kind of fun. But tune in again to listen to me and Jonathan talk about the next horror film that we love, which I will be picking out for you.
Yes, and check out our Facebook page for Horror Film Lovers, because I'm going to try to work on more on that and try to get more information about these films or trailers or things that might be of interest and everything get promoted a little bit more.
There you go.
All right, well, thank you guys so much for checking this out. Enjoy... our next episode in a month from now. So have a good one.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Arrivederci.